Hey, everybody. Welcome back to This Moment. Thank you for tuning in. As always, I am in Stockholm, Sweden. My name is Jason Timbuktu Diakite. This week, however, my dear brother and co-host, Chef Marcus Samuelson, will not be joining me because I am embarking on a little mini series within the This Moment universe. And this is a series that I like to call Hip Hop Stories. It's an investigation of what hip hop culture has meant to Sweden, to Scandinavia, to the Nordic region, and to me personally. At the baseline, hip hop culture is graffiti, it's breakdancing, it's the art of DJing, and it's MCing. But it's also, you know, evolved to fashion, beat making, to language, to journalism, to even, you know, how authors are writing books. Hip hop is the most driving force within global pop culture today. I want to tell these stories to pay homage to this culture that has given me so much, that has defined who I am, that has made me. And I want to reach out to some of my fellow hip hop fanatics and followers in the Scandinavian region to explain and add another facet of the story to what the evolution of hip hop culture was like in these Nordic countries. Let's jump in.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And my first guest in this series that I'm embarking on is my dear friend, definitely one of the illest Scandinavian MCs to ever walk upon this earth. Also a very, very talented songwriter. She's a new mother. She hails from Liberia, Stockholm, and Rhode Island. My dear friend, Jackie Cummings, a.k.a. Mape, welcome to This Moment.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction. If I can live up to it someday.
How are you doing, Jackie?
I'm great, actually. The sun is shining for the first couple of summer days, so I'm like just chilling in my apartment. I put some red lipstick on to make the Zoom meeting more fun. You know what
Beautiful.
I mean? Because I'm looking at Zoom meetings and it's like...
Yeah, it's the small things in this pandemic era that brighten our days.
Exactly.
All right. So, Jackie, I want to talk about hip hop and I want to talk about hip hop with you. And I also want to talk about Swedish hip hop with you. But like going back to the roots of things, I'd really like to just start with asking you to talk a little bit about how your love affair or your love for hip hop and hip hop culture started? Like where did that path start for you?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for speaking to me about this because I never get to talk about hip hop. I have so many different friends from different, they do different kind of genres of music. They're from different walks of life. So not everyone wants to talk about hip hop all the time. You know what I mean? And I feel like
I hear you.
That's how in love I am with it. Like I can sit on my couch and just go through old videos of like Hieroglyphics to you know what I mean? And just like,
but could it be also that we tend to maybe take hip hop for granted in a way? It's just such an omnipotent cultural force and it's so established today that we don't really have to, we don't have that same need to talk about it as we did maybe 25 years ago to like, hey, I'm hip hop or I represent hip hop culture. It's just everywhere today. You don't really have to mention it that often. So we kind of take it for granted. Maybe.
I would have to disagree because I feel like the hip hop world was more like blossomed before. And now it's sort of like in the norm. So people, as you say, don't talk about it, but I feel like it was more alive back in the day. And that's when you take it for granted. Now it's like, no one really cares. You know what I mean? Like,
true. Okay.
It's in society. It's everywhere. It's capitalism. You buy the culture. So it's like, you don't really know what the culture is about. So when you meet a real hip hop head nowadays, it's like you're thirsty for that conversation. You know what I mean? So,
that's a really interesting and important perspective to shift on it, because that's one of the things in this, during the global Black Lives Matter uprising, that I thought a lot about was just this discrepancy between how willingly and enthusiastically people consume hip hop culture, but how defensive those same people can be about being in community with the people that create hip hop.
Thank
culture.
You. And I want to say that word once again, community. Hip hop was about community. I remember back in the day, like I'm going to move closer to the beginnings, the roots of my journey. But back in the day, when I grew up in Sweden, you know, Stockholm, it was a community. You would go to these different like vicinities for young people, and they would just have battles, and like people knew each other, and they were like, how's that guy? Oh, I heard he almost overdosed. I heard, you know, like young kids would get together, paint graffiti, break dance. And now it's more like, oh, what are you wearing? And what are you doing with your career or like your hip hop career? You know, now it's more like competitive, not in the sense of where it used to be like a community competition, but more like who looks the flashiest or who is doing the best, you know what I mean? So it's not like we care of each other. Mm. And I really feel like I come from that school. So,
I mean, over the years, we've known each other for a bunch of years now. So, but we've never really talked about, I've never really gotten the timeline on like where you grew up and when, but I seem to recall that you came to Stockholm when you were in your early teenage years or something like that?
Nine or 10. So I came from Providence, Rhode Island to Stockholm. I grew up very humble beginnings. But the rich part of those humble beginnings was that I would always hear bass lines from outside. You know what I mean? Like real hip hop. I grew up in a hip hop environment, you know, like...
This is in Providence, right?
And of course, you have freestyle music, like, ooh, oh, Diamond Girl, like all that Money Talks. I mean, like those songs were blasting as well. But I was fortunate to like be in the cradle of all that on the East Coast of America when people were just like walking around with Onyx t-shirts and just rhyming and buying jewelry. You know what I mean? And people still buy jewelry. But you know what I mean? It was like...
Golden era stuff.
And I was so young, but it was my formative years, so that's what I knew, and that's was my reality. And then I often say this in interviews, like I came to Sweden and it was like the movie The Cell, you know what I mean? It was like this layer of melancholy that laid on me. And you know, I also, you know, I was influenced by MTV as a child because I would watch TV a lot and I would see like rock videos and stuff, and all of a sudden the rock video was in my outside my window, you know what I mean? Like love to like, you know, like I would call them horse girls, hästtjejer, you know what I mean? Like ride horses and listen to like Pearl Jam or Nirvana and wear Nirvana t-shirts. So this was like, wow, I can chill with these folks as well, you know what I mean? Like these people exist too. But hip hop has always been like deeply rooted in my DNA, you know, without even knowing it.
I mean, I take it then, and from hearing you talk about what it was like growing up in Providence, that hip hop was just everywhere. It was just a natural part of your environment. But do you remember back then in those early days, if there was a certain album or artist that was like one of the earliest to kind of capture your attention a little more, or that you like got like, what was the first album or artist that you really got into?
I think my sister listens more albums. I was so young, but I loved LL Cool J, like Around the Way Girl was a popular song. So you know, just those lyrics, standing at the bus stop, sucking on a lollipop once again. It's hard to make, you know what I mean? It's like those lyrics. I would always rhyme them, like even coming to Sweden and people were like, you're American, you should rhyme, like rhyme, you know, because I looked like video when I came to Sweden, I would rhyme lyrics that existed from like LL or, you know, Run DMC or, you know, just like, I remember it was like a lot of Wu-Tang back in the day as well. 36 Chambers, you know what I mean? So it was, and seeing that come to Sweden, like a couple of years later was shocking to me. Cause I never thought the hip hop vibe would ever come to Stockholm. You know, I was just like, that's long gone. And every summer when I would travel to the States and see like, you know, music at the basketball courts or like rappers gear that was influenced by hip hop music, I would be like, I'm never going to see this in Stockholm. But all of a sudden there was this wave of like underground battle hip hop. I don't even know how. Do you know how it came to Sweden? Like how did people, was it like through, was it like a movement?
I think hip hop came to Sweden, like, you know, started seeping in through, you know, kids that had traveled to the States and brought records back with them, you know. Probably around the same time that hip hop was really starting to happen. So, you know, the earliest accounts of like a hip hop song being played in Sweden is probably like early 80s, you know. But it, somebody had probably been to New York and you know, been to Rock and Soul or whatever record shop at the time was selling this new, fresh and exciting music and brought it with them to Stockholm or Gothenburg and played it. But do you remember what, like when you wrote your first like rap verse or when you spit your first verse?
So, you know, ending up in Tumba, Sweden, which was very like, you know, I was the only immigrant in my school, but then I eventually,
can we say Tumba is that kind of like New Jersey or like,
it's like
what would we say compared
Stockholm,
to,
but it's like Springfield, you know what I mean? Like, okay. You know, it's the suburb outside of the city a bit, you know what I mean? Like Syracuse. I don't know how to explain it. New York's too big to like compare it to here, but
Mount Vernon or something in the city, but far from the city, kind of. So you arrive in Tumba. Exactly.
But then, you know, I would like bench. I started going to clubs here since, you know, it wasn't that dangerous for kids to be out here as opposed to America, where you go outside, they're like, don't go out there. There's, you know, dirty old men and you can get shot. You know what I mean? You could just, you know, like that Shaheen verse. What's it called?
From
that,
I just remember his on and on,
and everyone, when he's like, all you can hear is the shells drop, an old man got shot in a parking lot in front of a building. I hang with his friend, you know what I mean? So, it was
yeah, that's from that first track, on and on.
You know, you don't go out there. I remember like dirty old men just looking at you, you know, like catcalling kids and shit, you know what I mean? So, you know, so in Sweden, it wasn't that dangerous. You would go out and go to clubs. And I was like 12 when I went to my first club. So there I met, and techno was really big, Euro techno. So we would like wear braids and like rave clothes mixed with like hip hop gear. Cause you know, that was what was in like 95, 96, you know, before like Missy P. Diddy and all that came to the table. But yeah, so basically I would go to these clubs, dances, like rave dances, and I met Cool James and the Black Teacher. They had a song called Calling Dr. Feel Good, makes you feel good. Calling Dr. Feel. So I was like, oh, and they were like, you know, looking at me like, okay, does she rhyme or anything? Because I knew these rappers called Michael and Kane from Albee, which is like the hood part of Mount Vernon, so to say. So they were like, yeah, you should start rhyming, you know. So I just wrote my first verse, and it was a really hard verse. It was like, home people just be using the scene, abusing the scene, but ain't nobody using me because I'll just steal on them. So they better have a shell on them. I don't care no more. I don't share no more. All I do is mama own, like mowing the lawn or Sylvester Stallone. Yo. Now listen, crowd, this is Stocktown and I'm proud, but we all the same. So don't make a big flame, just like, you know what I mean? But then other guy,
yo,
that rhymed.
All right.
Was
first
when I was
verse.
12, you know, so I was very proud of that. One of the other guys in the group, he always stole verses. So I was like, I heard that verse from somewhere. And the other guy had like, his verse was like, we on the roll, on the mission, top secret, low profile, confident. And we were 12 years old. So I, you know, I figured we were
that
pretty good
incredible.
Students in school. You know what I mean? Because I feel like all rappers are pretty good writers. Well, very good writers. You know, you can compare.
Yeah, there's something very nerdy about being a rapper too, because it you have to stop and write at some point.
Exactly.
So you can't just be out doing and being in action. You actually have to take a step back and like write it all down.
Except for the rappers that don't write their rhymes, you know.
but even they have to like meditate on it. You know, even the most lethal. G'd out rapper has to take that break.
Right.
Like, I mean, unless they're just totally going off, you know, freestyling, which of course a lot of people do too. Like, I think, like, for example, Nas is the perfect example. Listening to his early tracks, you could really picture him in his room looking out of his project window and writing about what he saw going on outside.
I think you have to be in your own world, because sometimes when rhymes come to me, like, for example, I have this song called Second to None, and I was very much like depressed when I wrote that song. I was, you know, just like on medication, just like, oh, I couldn't even express myself. But the rhymes came to me and I was like, words are never spoken in the midst of, now I'm just rhyming all these rhymes, but I hope that.
I love it. I love
I
it.
Like,
hit us with the rhymes, Jackie.
The whole verse, but I was like, words are never spoken in the midst of feeling token, picking on what's left of the bone, still a stomach's bloated. So when I say that, I was like, I don't know how that came to me in the midst of all this like systematic oppression, all this like feeling like worthless and I'm never going to make it, to like this rhyme coming over me. And when I say that, I'm like, I feel token, but, and I'm still like eating this unhealthy chicken, but my stomach is bloated, like referring to like the kids they show on commercials, African commercials, you know, like all these like deep rhymes would come to me.
Impressions.
But you know what I read, like just going into these weird rabbit holes. Is that, because you know, when I was like studying, I stayed home for a while because I was, since 12, since the Cool Jam and the Black Teacher days, I've been a club kid. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to be that old bitch in the club now, but you never know after having, when my kid gets old. Like,
yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, you can teach the youth a thing or two.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, you learn from the streets and like being on the scene.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so I started staying home a lot, you know, and reading about religion. And then I read about this deity from Liberia, my country, and they exist in Nigeria and Brazil and everything as well. And this lady's called Mama Wata. And her story is that she blessed the Africans that were transported to the Americas with rhyme.
Oh, wow.
And she and the drug movement, you know, they say it comes from West Africa. So I was like, when I read that, I was in shock. I was like, it must come from, you know, way back. You know what I mean? Like, you never know. Like,
Yeah, of course. And also, I mean, rhyming is a tool to remember.
Right.
It, like, if you rhyme your story, it makes it easier to remember because that first line is always the key.
Right.
If you can unlock the first line, that's going to give you the second line that will give you the third, fourth, and so on. So that really makes sense. Mama Wata.
Yeah, it helps to meditate. It helps.
Deity of the MCs.
Exactly,
I love that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Jackie, we're like, you know, stepping onto this kind of nascent Swedish hip hop scene in the mid 90s. Being, and I mean, you're still ill. You've, and ever since I've known you, you've been an ill MC. And I've both heard the stories of how you would kill people in the ciphers, but also kind of seen you go at it. And you're one of few Swedish MCs that can truly go off the top, like truly off the top, no pre-written, and still, you know, spit rhymes that sound like they, you know, that I'd have to stop and like write to be able to spit, and that quality. When you, you know, when you arrived on the scene and started getting into the Swedish hip hop scene, was being a female, was that anything that you felt like held you back, or did it present any specific type of challenges? How are you met and kind of embraced or accepted?
I mean, I want to show love to Stockholm, Sweden. I mean, Sweden overall, you know, like, I don't want to bash Sweden. You know, I did a with Hot 97 and people felt like I was bashing Sweden. I was just telling them about my reality. But in reality, it was very male dominated here. You know, like, when I was would try to rhyme or go up on the stage at like different places, you know, the girls would always stand by and watch, and I had to like take my place, you know? So when I did that, you know, I just, that's why I became so good at rhyming, because it was about survival for me. It was about like taking my place and expressing myself and not feeling like, oh, I could do this, but I'm too shy. I have to hide because it's all the men are standing there. You know what I mean? And like, until this day, I never knew that, you know what I mean? I just thought like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough, or I felt insecure. But, you know, the structures of society are also in, you know, fashion and music and, you know what I mean? Like, male domination or racism or anything is like, it's embedded in us, and it's our duty. Like, I'm glad that I stood up for myself and I was like, yo, can I get the mic? You know what I mean? Like, would fight for that mic, but not a lot of.
It's interesting to think about now that, you know, well, I'm older than you, but we're both older than we once were, looking back at how we all were affected by, for example, patriarchy, even at a very young age, how those kind of hierarchies play out, even you know, even within hip hop, which in Sweden is something that us kids, we built on our own. Right. And it was our own arena. It wasn't, there were older, you know, DJs and, you know, you had your Sleepy, for example, or you had your, you know, Dele, you know, you had the kind of senior hip hop figures, but it was still, there were no adults, no parents right. involved right. or trying to control right. it as if, you know, if we were playing football or basketball, there'd be like parents involved and the coach, it'd be still kind of adult world. But the hip hop scene in Sweden, to me anyway, was something that us kids, it was our own right. world. Yet and still we kind of reproduced.
And it was very,
for example, patriarchal structures.
Exactly. You know? But the thing is, the weird thing about it is like the conflict within it was that it was very political and the kids had morals. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, like, for example, just going forward or backwards, I don't know. Like if a rap song had a hook and it was like, you know, or if a song was like degrading towards women, then people would be like, that's wrong. You know what I mean? Like I experienced that in Sweden a lot, that there was a lot of morals around hip hop. Like you don't do this, you know, like, I think like, you know, the kids listen to a lot of like KRS and, you know, like just real hip hop heads. And they were like, that's wrong, you know? And I really like the hooks and the R&B part of it all. And like dressing up and looking fancy smancy, you know what I mean? So, so when I came to the, like the battle scene of Stockholm, I would, you know, just like, look cute. You know what I mean? Be all girly. And it was like, what's this? This is weird. You know what I mean? So, you know, I would.
And at the same time, Jackie, I remember Stuhl telling me a story about how he saw you in a cypher. It could have been a Frieshuset and he didn't dare step in. I guess he might be, you know, if he's younger than you or older, I don't know. But because you were so ill, you were holding it down. And I mean, Stuhl today is one of the best MCs in Sweden. And he's a dope freestyle MC. But at the time, he was like hesitant to step in because you were in there doing your thing.
Yeah. And I don't know how that came over me. You know what I mean? Because I was never competitive. Mm. I was never like a confident person as a young child. But I just felt like, as I said before, hip hop was so much in my DNA that I couldn't, you know, hold back. Mm. And I felt like I had my own story. And I feel like the fundamentals of hip hop is like telling your story, expressing yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think like, you know, for example, a lot of people have images in hip hop, but I think behind that's their story. That's their form of expression, you know? So I would say that I was right. I mean, you know, but I just had,
I kind of love that about, that's one of the things that I love about hip hop culture is that it kind of enabled us to create our own, to become superheroes in our own world, in a sense. I thought about it a bit, you know, after DMX passed a couple of months ago, just the fact that hip hop is so, it's so DIY, it's so creative that you can, it allows an artist, for example, like DMX or Shock G, for example, you know, to create these kind of personas that may be far from yourself, but you're in essence creating your own kind of superhero and giving that superhero a bunch of powers that your kind of everyday self, you know, your Jackie Cummings or Jason Diakite, Lack, but Mape and Timbuktu have these superpowers. Because, I mean, you know me too. I'm, in essence, a pretty shy person. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely not the kind of person who will, like, stand up in a room and address the entire room and, like, do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because of hip hop, it kind of emboldened me and gave me that courage or tools to be something that, you know, Timbuktu could be something that Jason wasn't, in a sense.
And, you know, like hip hop, for example, it's like, I would say it's like a, if you probably know the word for it, but it's like the scripture is the Bible and the rappers are the gods. You know what I mean? Because it's so important and it's so, like, I feel like I'm a part of an apartment important movement, you know, that.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Even an impression like Stu had from, I don't know, 20 years ago of seeing you rhyme once where you were really ill, that like sticks with a person. It's like a level of respect, or it means something. It's currency, you know, it's current. It was currency among kids, like, oh, she can rhyme or he can rhyme. Wow.
And
that's dope.
Even rap, you know? A lot that much anymore. You know what I mean? But the verses that I wrote were really important. And styles were really important. And it wasn't about like a catalog of music. I'm not like a polished, you know, rap artist where I have like a label behind me, you know, just like, you know, this, you know, catalog of music, but I just had the spirit and I had the words and, you know, like the whole energy of it. So I would say that, yeah, I'm hip hop.
All right. Yeah. Jackie, the first time I heard you was on Up High's debut album, the Venus album, in 2006. And I think the track was called like Up High Part 2 or something like that, or the God part. What was it called? Hold on a sec. It was called...
I did so many tracks with them, so I'm just trying to figure which one you mean.
And it was so, so dope.
Is it the ADL?
No, it's the track that's called The Gift Part 2.
Oh, The Gift Part 2, okay.
Yo, so dope. And I was like, who is this? And then about a year later, I think I heard Video Vixens. and then you know, from there on, you kind of... but then you were an artist and there was a lot of hype around you and you were like, you were just slaying stages. I remember seeing you live was just like a very kind of, it was a physical experience just seeing you live because the energy that you were sending out. And to me, you've always had like several different musical identities. Like you can sing a blues song or you can rap an ill verse. And I wanted to just ask you if you think that you have roots in three vastly different countries, Liberia, Sweden, and the United States. And your mom was a black woman. Your dad is a white man. Like this kind of mix of identities, in which ways do you think hip hop helped you form like a coherent identity of who Jackie is or who Mape is?
Sad to say, I think I could relate to everyone coming from poverty. You know what I mean? Because we were, you know, hip hop comes from making something out of nothing, you know, having hope. And my mother worked three jobs when I was living in the States. I didn't see her that much because she had to work to like pay for this good school I went to, or, you know, put food on the table. So my imagination would wander. And I feel like rappers and hip hop, you know, we come from, you know, the cradle of it is in the gutter. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to have hope. And that's where, you know, I connect with it. And and it's nothing wrong to like want things, or, you know, like in hip hop, you dream of like, oh, you just want to, there's a lot of escapism. And I felt like I had that as a child. I really wanted to like, you know, see unicorns, have jewelry, or see peace on earth. You know what I mean? So all these things are in hip hop. You know, I feel like a lot of other genres, they're very like, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's jaded, but hip hop is so like, I wouldn't even say it's new. I would say hip hop always existed. You know, it existed in blues. It existed in the drum movement from West Africa. It existed, but it just comes in different forms. But the hip hop we know comes from poverty, pain, and wanting to see a change.
That's beautiful. And also, I mean, to me, like if you release a rock song, to me it's still hip hop because you're hip hop, and that kind of shows of the just the elasticity and the how dynamic hip hop culture is, mm-hmm. that no matter what version you choose to create from that well of hip hop culture, if it's a techno song or a rock song, it's still going to be hip hop because of how you are carrying yourself and your kind of perspective coming from that culture.
Because we are rare breed, you know, and the people that, you know, I just want to like give a shout out to people around hip hop or people that work with it, like you, that, you know, keep it alive and keep the essence of it, you know, like the caring part of it alive, because you know, I just want to say, because a lot of journalists, they only want to see a narrative that is very like, okay, if it's not gangster, it's not hip hop, it's not fresh, you know, if it's not being,
or they can't label it. They can't label it.
Yeah, like, you know, hip hop is about change. It was about like, you know, making things happen and pushing things forward. But, you know, a lot of people just want to see it in that same, you know, when it's rotten or if it's like degrading towards women, you know what I mean? Like people want to only see that part of it. You know, that's what's real to them. I feel like with my career, other than hip hop, I've also like, I've loved hit songs, you know, like just listening to like a Fleetwood Mac song or a Metallica song or a Jay-Z song. It's like, you know, I've always wanted to do like hit songs, but now I'm like starting to write rhymes again. And I really want to go into the lab and the booth. I just got a mic here at home and I'm going to, you know, try to perfect my craft. What did I write the other day?
And you got a young son, a little baby boy. And I think for him to just hear his mom, for him to hear his mom rap in his house, when, you know, that's going to seep in. And by the time he's like 7, he's going to be such an ill MC. A new MF Doom is born.
Push my dreams onto him. But I just wrote, ain't it necessary that I write the contrary? Because rhymes be sounding like obituaries, some with suicide doors. Okay, let me hear what you're wearing. Hoes touch your toes like you in the military. I can't help what I do for a chain, or better yet, but some change, it's insane. I have to like polish everything, you know? But you know.
And being a rapper too is, I guess, not something you ever stop being, because it's also just like a journal of your, like writing rhymes is a way of like writing your journal or a diary or something.
I'm just going to be, right. No, it's amazing.
So tell me a bit about the future. What do you see? Like, what are your what are some of your goals and dreams in the next couple of years?
To raise, give my son the tools to do whatever he likes to do. Also, probably like build in a warm country. You know what I mean? Just like, you know how I've been moving back and forth between the States and Sweden, maybe Sweden and Africa or Brazil or something like that, you know, just like.
Especially on coming out of one of these, another one of these trademark long ass dark winters that we have here in Scandinavia. Jackie Cummings, Mape, thank you for coming on this moment. It's always, you know, I always get inspired just being in your presence and being in conversation with you and talking about something that means so much to us as hip hop culture. Thank you for being a part of, and thank you for your contributions to Swedish hip hop culture and global hip hop culture. And yeah, get back in the booth, Jackie. We need it.
Yeah, we just scratched the surface. Like, I just want to hear so much more about your stories in Sweden and, you know, like other people's stories, because, you know.
Boom. Thank you so much, Jackie. Have a good day. Kiss the baby from me and say what up to Arash, and I'll see you soon. All right.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. So there you have it. Dear listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this moment. This was the first installment of my hip hop stories. There are more to come. Mape sharing her freestyles, her lyrics, her vibes, her inspirations, her life story. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mape, for coming on. Thank you, Swedish Hip Hop. Thank you, Cool Herc, for starting this culture that is circumnavigating the globe several times over and has meant the world to the world. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you for tuning in. Peace. Vi svävar i ljus som ett gasmoln. Spinner en väv utan slut till sagan är avlång. Alla dagar är bra som sulorna slipper gå ensamma gator. När solen tittar fram och morgonlärken kvittrar, då tänker jag på dig. Då tänker jag på dig och undrar var du är.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.